I'm Chinee Ogwumike.
I'm Lisa Leslie, and we're very excited to tell you about our new podcast with Blue Wire, Front and Center.
Lisa and I are breaking down what's going on in our lives, in the world, and keeping it 100.
We're also learning from amazing guests as well, like Emmanuel Acho.
People that show love to me, I forever got their back.
Vivica A. Fox.
If the foundation isn't right, then the rest of it's going to go wrong from there.
And more.
Subscribe to Front and Center today.
Miami.
It feels like Miami.
Welcome to the Heat Beat Mailbag postgame show, or podcast rather, not postgame show. I'm your host, Carla Navas. We've got the audio fixed. With me today,
Miami Heat.
Brian was singing during the song, which was kind of annoying, but whatever. On the bottom of me, we have our professional screw-up, Alex Toledo.
Look, man, I was in a good mood, so Brian did that.
Brian just bothered me so much. I mean, I'm so happy. We got this fix. All the listeners have stayed through this audio disaster. And it all works. On the bottom left, we have the producer extraordinaire, Alex Solana.
What up?
Oh, my God. So, for those of you who are going to listen on the podcast, we've spent, what, guys, the last half hour? The last hour? How long have we been trying to fix this audio?
The last hour, which was like a whole pod.
Yeah, I mean, basically, we've sat here for the duration of a podcast while while chat waited, which, by the way, 100% appreciate every, like, you guys staying there for this whole stream has been absolutely amazing. Brian, if you could do me a favor, could you tweet out another link that we're live and we're starting on the Twitter account? If you could do that for me, please. Only 50 minutes late, but we're here. I want to thank everybody. Make sure to join our Discord server. Make sure to check out everything that we're doing on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. A lot of excellent things going on there. I don't even know where to start. By the way, shout out to Brian M., our stream producer, who was working relentlessly to get this working. Brian M., MVP of Heat Beat for the last 6 months. I mean, you are incredible. So shout out to Brian M. Shout out to everybody who stayed in the chat. So we're going to get to your mailbag questions in a second. I do want to talk some current events. There's a lot going on in the world of basketball and the NBA and everything. So I don't know, Alex, where do you want to start? Do you want to start with the Houston Rocket meltdown and the James Harden rumors? Do you want to talk about how Boston is scrambling because Bam Adebayo took their soul and all of a sudden they need to retool their team to Bam? Do you want to talk about potential Gallinari odds from our sponsor Bet Online that says the Heat are the favorite to sign him? Do you want to talk a little draft? Where do you want us to start? I'm going to give the floor is yours.
Me?
To borrow from Five on the Floor. Yeah.
Me,
you can also hear
Alex
on Five on the Floor. I'm contractually obligated to say that Alex is also on Five on the Floor.
That's true. That is part of the contract.
Y'all are laughing, but that's it.
Can we talk about the next-gen consoles?
No, we're not talking about games now, Brian. Do that on your own time. Where do you want to start, Alex?
I mean, there's so many angles, man. I think for me, because we've done so much Harden stuff in the past couple of days on Twitter, I kind of want to take a little pause on that and just be petty about the Celtics for a second and how we sent them into scramble mode because they had no idea what to do with Bam Adebayo.
I saw that's the rumor. I don't even know if it's a rumor. It's just like a hot take. But somebody said that they would flip Kemba Walker, whatever picks that they have, to go get Drew Holiday and then somehow magically get Miles Turner.
Yeah, no, because they're flipping Hayward too.
They would flip Hayward and Kemba for Miles Turner and Drew Holiday?
Yes. Yeah. Well, that makes them – you're laughing, but I think that makes them a lot better. I mean, in the playoffs last season, the reason why Miami was able to kind of attack their offense late was, you know, you kind of force Kemba Walker in some pick and rolls. You kind of force some switches. You attack. He's an easy man to pick on. And, I mean, honestly, if we're being honest, the Heat, as scared as I was of a guy who can pull up and pick and roll, I mean, that just did not bother them. I mean,
it would just be Jason Tatum as your only pull-up threat.
I mean, yeah,
but then they got diminishing returns from Kemba. Like, yeah, I think they probably wanted more out of him. They probably expected him to be like a, you know, 25, 23 points a game guy during the playoffs. And, you know, the zone kind of took him out. And it's like, if he isn't really giving you that type of, you know, type B, tier two, all-star production, then he's just kind of a sore spot for you on defense. He's going to be an easy spot that teams are going to pick at. And then, you know, again, Tice got completely outplayed. And now they're looking at Miles Turner. And by the way, if they had any type of research, they would know that's not the move. If you're trying to stop Bam Adebayo, don't bring Miles Turner. Like, what are you doing? You're just going to motivate him to go even crazier on the Celtics. Like,
if you thought what Bam did to Daniel Tice was bad, whoo-hoo, wait till you see what he does on Miles Turner in a Celtics uniform.
That's so funny, Brian, because I was texting with our friend Kev, and, you know, he was like, oh, if the Celtics get this, they're the favorites. And I go, you know what? I partially kind of agree with you. I really like, but that's, you know, Alex, like, that's a basketball hipster in me. You know, they got a lot of switchy defenders, a shooting big. And I was like, oh, wow. Ooh, it's exciting stuff.
And nobody gets you a basket at the late end of a game.
But yeah, like, but to me, the funny thing is that this is clearly in response to what the Heat did to them. Like, the Heat are having these other teams in the Eastern. So for everybody who says, like, all these pundits around the league are like, oh, what the Heat did in the bubble is not that real. I mean, there are legitimately good franchises that are responding to what happened in the playoffs. Because I mean, they
the
know
and
that
Celtics, both that of them are on the ropes right now trying to make moves.
That playoff basketball was real. Like, that was all X's and O's adjustment. I mean, like, maybe there wasn't a home crowd, and that factors in a little bit. But, I mean, these smart teams that have been good and at the top of the conference clearly are reacting to this in a way that would suggest that they take it seriously. So maybe, like, everybody else would kind of take it seriously, too. Like, it's just funny that the Heat are once again in the position, Solana, that other teams are chasing them around. And I fucking love it. I'm so here for this.
Well, the Celtics more than the Bucks. I think the Bucks just realize, like, they just don't have enough. And if they don't get enough, Giannis is gone. So I think it's more the Celtics clearly are reshaping or retooling or whatever the fuck you want to call it, because of what the Heat did, because of how Bam dominated them.
Especially that end of that game six. I mean, like, that must have been so demoralizing if you're a Boston fan. Like, you're watching this guy, Bam. You're up, right? You're up in game six, and you're thinking, all right, we're about to force a game seven. You know, we have the momentum on our side. We've led a lot of these games. One of the games ended with a play at the rim, blah, blah, blah. And Bam took over in a way that he made Daniel Tice look like he did not belong on the floor with him. And the Celtics had no answers. And also I don't think the Kemba Walker stuff is small at all. I mean, Jimmy Butler just absolutely bullied that guy. And Goran, too, by the way. Like, that one of those, I think it was the third quarter of game five, even though the Heat didn't win that game. What did Goran have, like 18 points in the quarter, right? When all their offenses didn't work? Like, Goran's just bullying Kemba Walker. Goran,
the Heat,
right? It's not like
the Celtics. The Heat cooked the Celtics.
Absolutely cooked them.
And no, that's not what I said.
What'd you say?
Cooked.
I'm like, here on the PG version of you.
Between Kemba and Tice and Hayward, all those guys, man, they all got dominated. And then you look at Tatum, the guy who's supposed to be better than Jimmy. Oh my God,
they're not getting rid of Kemba though, right? Like, I think that's just chatter. I don't think they're actually gonna get rid of Kemba or flip.
If they did, I laugh my ass off, man.
Yeah,
no, I see.
The only guy that scares me on that team.
I don't think they should. They're in danger. Trade him, but if you trade him for Drew, that makes it so much harder to go at them. Like, I think it's like, yo, good luck creating offense versus them.
It kind of reminds me of Houston, where you're flipping a great player for like a less great player, right? And you're also probably giving stuff as well to New Orleans, right? Because New Orleans has a lot of leverage in that situation. So, like,
they would still have Smart too. Like, that is a nasty defensive core.
No, they're going to be good. But I think that their offense is going to be a little worse, and if Tatum doesn't take another leap with a capital L, it's going to be difficult for them to score in the clutch, you know, because you're really taking away
they one nab of Redick. Their
ball handlers. Yeah, they're going to be out some shooting. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to put another guy on the floor who can't shoot that well. Miles Turner is a good shooter, but, you know, I don't know. It's yet to be seen, and Hayward's good for them. So I think that that's a move that you've run some. I think the Hayward move has less risk to it than the Kemba move, but I mean, I just think that's funny. I was listening to Zach Lowe today, and they were talking on his podcast about getting Russell Westbrook on the Magic, right? And I thought that conversation was a little funny, because his guest on from The Ringer, Kevin Pelton, I think it is, said, you know, oh, if he's a big Orlando Magic fan, and he said, you know, if we get Russ, that's like, we are gonna get our Jimmy Butler. And he phrased it that way. And I thought that was really interesting that, you know, that that teams are going to, like, fan bases and teams are looking to replicate what the Heat did. Oh, we need to get our Jimmy Butler, our upset, disgruntled star that maybe is a little underrated and has some attitude issues, like, quote unquote, right? And we're going to put him into this culture and he's going to take us, he's going to overachieve, right? And I think that's funny for a lot of reasons. One, because it just, I mean, let's talk about what a year does to the narrative of the Heat after they were sitting on those contracts of Dion Waiters and James Johnson and all that. And Zach Lowe said they had the bleakest output in the league and all. You know, we've gone over all this cold takes exposed conversation and all that, blah, blah, blah. But to go from that to other teams like fucking, number one, scared of them. And then number two is like, well, all the bad teams are like, well, how can we do that? It's fucking funny. It's funny. It's funny, and they were treading water going into the lockout, the bubble lockdown, whatever. They're losing to Charlotte at home. It looked bad. They had traded their young piece that we fell in love with for, you know, old guys, right? And everybody's copying them, and everyone's scared of them. It's just fucking great.
So the only thing that Orlando's missing in this picture, besides good shooting, is culture.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's the thing. It's fool's gold. Like, Westbrook is not going to turn around the Magic the way Jimmy did. It's just, like, you actually need other talent on there. Like, I don't know if, like, I guess Westbrook and Vucevic get you the A seed, right? Like, those are two good players. Outside of that,
Evan Fournier.
No, Jonathan Isaac.
Don't forget Evan Fournier. Don't forget Evan Fournier. Don't sleep on Dongwu. It's just funny. It's just, I'm just poor laughing.
Markelle Fultz.
I think Jonathan Isaac's out
no,
the
he,
whole year
I think
still?
He was in the proposed trade. I think it was Fultz and...
Again, poor Markelle Fultz.
Fultz, Aaron Gordon, and, like, I think the pick, Orlando's pick or whatever for Westbrook. Damn. And, like, yeah.
Don't send Fultz to a team owned by Thelma Fertitta, please. Like, don't. We can't.
I mean, Orlando and Houston are owned by two, like, you know, between Fertitta and the DeVos family.
Oh, God.
Brian,
Orlando insider.
I actually would like to see Russ Westbrook here, just because I it'd be fun to watch him play live. Like, if they played the Heat, it's better than watching Evan Fournier.
We have no interest in Westbrook here, right?
No, that was last year.
Like, none. I'm gonna ask you something in a vacuum. I'm gonna ask Alex and Solana in a vacuum. It's yes or no. With, let's say, just a straight up trade, forget money and salary cap. Would you rather have Dragic or Westbrook?
Dragic.
Solana?
Wow.
You have to fucking think about it. That's insane.
Westbrook
to me.
Is a better player. I would rather have Dragic.
Yeah, I would too. I'm with Alex.
But I want to know how Dragic is going to heal from that injury before I make that decision. Because if Dragic isn't going to be the Dragic we saw pre the injury, then it's easy to say Dragic. Like, it's easy, but...
That's also the gutsy thing.
I think we're really down on Westbrook. And by the way, I don't want Westbrook here. Like, I'm just trying to make the argument.
There's a lot of reasons why we wouldn't want Westbrook yet.
Right. No, there's a lot of reasons. Also, because the last we saw Westbrook, he was a shell of himself coming off of injury. He tried to rush himself back from an injury, and he was playing alongside arguably the worst teammate in the NBA. So I think it's easy for all of us right now to say, no, Dragic, but man, I don't know. Like, I don't think it's that, like, Alex answered that real quickly, and I don't think it should be that quick of an answer.
I'm usually long-winded, so I tried to change it up for once. But at the end of the day, like, I look at Westbrook as somebody who's closer to a top 45 player than a top 25 player. So, like, I still think he's good.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I mean, I think there's a lot of really good talent in the league, and I don't think that's a bad
Jesus
thing. Like,
Christ.
Look, what I will say, though, is they tapped
Westbrook
into something
Westbrook
in the regular
or
season.
Kyrie Irving. Westbrook or Kyrie Irving?
Kyrie, come on.
Westbrook or Kyle Lowry?
Lowry.
Yeah.
Westbrook or Van Vliet?
Westbrook.
I think I take Westbrook there.
I don't know why I'm thinking so long.
But that's based on
because Fred can defend and he could bomb threes and stuff like that. So it's just I just think it's funny for you to say that, and it sounds ass. I mean Westbrook's still Westbrook. You know what I mean? Like,
Westbrook is still good, man. He's just not a top 10, top 20 player.
He looked
anymore.
Great this season. He looked as good as he's ever looked.
That's what I was gonna say. During the regular season, they tapped into something. He looked awesome. Like, I think that the whole strategy, I think that's why I kind of low-key, something that I haven't actually said, that I think it's it's stupid for them to give up right now. Like, I think that they had something.
The Rockets aren't giving up. Like, I think it's Westbrook giving up. I don't think he likes that fit. I don't think anybody likes playing alongside Harden.
Hey, maybe not. I'm just saying Westbrook honestly looked like maybe the best version of himself.
That's the report from Shams.
When you said the worst teammate, Solana, I was wondering if you meant Westbrook or Harden or Oladipo for that matter.
I don't think Westbrook is a bad teammate in terms of like off the court or whatever, like chemistry wise. I think Harden just everything on the court. He's a terrible teammate because all he wants to do is run isolation plays. And like there appears to clearly be like a chemistry issue too. Like with CP3, couldn't get along with Westbrook, couldn't get along.
No, Westbrook's not a they can't get along thing. They're friends. I don't think that. I think the people that are upset is like Austin Rivers saying that you know Austin moved yeah, and he, that's why Danny James House. Harden missed a free throw. Yeah, then PJ Tucker bitching about his contract. I mean, just the
hey implosion hold on, over there. PJ Tucker deserves to bitch about his contract.
No, he does absolutely, but he's also 35. You know,
so exactly. Like, they got him out there guarding Anthony Davis on a full time basis. Those,
I know.
They totally underpaid him, man.
Honestly, like that's something player. That PJ Tucker should take up with his agent. Like, let's be honest. But it's just funny to see them implode and like, so I speaking of implosions, that Victor Oladipo report recently was really funny. Where
today,
Victor Oladipo
today.
Well, time was fast. Allegedly, in the middle of them losing in the playoffs to the Heat, Oladipo was openly asking, "He's like, yo, can I?"
I don't think it was the playoffs. It was just during.
Can
the
I play
season.
With y'all
during the season? What? Sometime during the season.
It wasn't the playoffs because the Knicks were involved.
Yeah, the Knicks were involved.
Whatever. Yeah, but he was asking in front of teammates if he could. Can I play with y'all? Which is hysterical. Funny. It would make sense given information that we've heard of. Maybe the Heat aren't so hot on him, and maybe Jimmy's not so hot on him.
That's so
here.
Lame, man.
Victor denies it, but then the reporter who reported it said, "Well, I reached out to Victor Oladipo." And for 2 weeks, he did not respond or defend himself. So what am I supposed to do? So just some clarification. Like, so Victor may deny it, but a reporter did do due diligence to try to see what happened.
Yeah,
so
did you see everything that happened with what was it, Oladipo's sister and Miles Turner on Twitter today?
What happened?
What?
So apparently, I don't have it right in front of me, but basically, you know, they were kind of trying to figure out, who leaked that about Oladipo. And they said, probably Miles Turner.
Yeah, that's funny.
I saw that about Oladipo's sister. Yeah,
yeah. And he replied to it. I don't remember what he said, but it was like, you know, we're doing that, or you know, something to that effect. So there's something going on.
Ashley Nicole Moss at Ash Nicole Moss on Twitter reported today saying that per my conversation with a current Heat player who asked to remain anonymous. She says, I can confirm reports of Victor Oladipo inquiring about playing with the team after the Pacers elimination in game 4. The player added that he believes Oladipo was just joking and was trying to soften the blow of a playoff elimination while giving props to the Heat's performance. Currently, the team is not pursuing him.
That's definitely not a joke you make, though. Like, right after you get swept, like, yo, pick me up.
That's right. They got swept, too.
That's a joke you make through text with Bam after the game, but like on the court, like,
yes,
yo,
pick me up.
I don't want him anymore. Honestly, I'm not having fun anymore. Pick me up.
I agree. I've been so in on Oladipo, and that just gave me such a sour taste in my mouth.
Wait, why are you in on Oladipo, though? Why?
I mean, I've been in on the idea of trading for him, you know, at kind of like a lower price package just for the idea of, you know, maybe being able to get like a high ceiling, you know, type of thing. But at the end of the day, I think if you could get him for number 20 Olynyk, it's not a terrible deal, but. Now it's this is like really important to me right here. Like, this is like, I mean, look, Ethan heard that Jimmy and the Heat kind of soured on him, so I would not be surprised if this is a reason why. I mean, we don't know that for sure, but
he didn't look good, right? Like in that series, I get he was injured or whatever, but he just didn't.
I
look
thought
good.
He looked better than the regular season.
Yeah,
because
he did look better in regular season. Still wasn't his old self. No. He's definitely not worthy of a max.
Like, it's tough. You're really buying low on a guy that he had one and a half really good seasons, and the rest have been kind of empty promises.
But at the end of the day, like, I think that's kind of an overstated point, because like, look at the context from before he got to Indiana. Like, he played in Orlando, who we were just talking about. It's just like a, you know, dead end, you know, Sacramento East situation. And then you
Sacramento
go to
Sacramento East.
And then the other player we were just talking about.
At least
about,
they
Russell
can make
Westbrook.
The playoffs.
Look, whatever. Yeah, sure.
In the
yeah,
East.
Sure.
In the East.
Oh, yeah. Counts.
Well, there you go. But
and then
the other guy we were
Milwaukee
talking about
in game 1, that counts for something.
They're kings of game one. Keep going out.
Yeah, that's what they went to the playoffs for. You get one game of, you know, one extra game of revenue.
They beat Toronto too.
I mean, my bad. Five extra games of revenue since they don't usually make it. But but the other guy that we were talking about was Westbrook, man. All the people going over there and ended up playing with Westbrook and you know, just a regular OKC clogged offense where I just think, like, he was never set up to succeed in those first few years. And he was clearly really talented in those first few years. Like, I think he was up and down for sure. I think Indiana, he put it together. And now he's just suffering from injuries. Like, I'm not saying he's going to be that guy once he does get healthy. But I wouldn't be surprised if he's 80% of that guy.
Think of how underwhelming it'll be, though, when all these names are getting tossed around. Harden, Westbrook. And I get Westbrook, we don't want him. But Antetokounmpo, Bradley Beal, Donovan Mitchell. Like, all these names that are being thrown around the league with ties to Miami. And you end up with Oladipo. Well,
Oladipo is the only one that costs significantly less than all those other guys you mentioned, though. And by the way, and that was just before, like, you know, all these other names popped up. It seems like the Heat are actually in position to land one of Harden or Giannis for the next year, so that obviously changes things. But
I don't think Oladipo makes you, like, I don't think the jump you need to make to beat the Lakers, I don't think Oladipo gives you enough. I think the upside, a veteran big man in
free agency, like something like that.
But yeah, no, to Alex's point, I mean, like, I think a big thing with them, especially for the regular season, is you need a guy that can defend point guards because they don't really have that, right? So you just can't get, you know, torched by Charlotte.
Well, Oladipo did a really good job on defense in the playoffs.
Now you got to defend Kyrie Irving as well. So let's say the Celtics keep Kemba Walker, and whoever the Bucks acquire. Lowry's still, you know, even if Fred VanVleet leaves the Raptors, you know, they're probably going to be a lower seeded playoff team. You know, you're going to have to probably face Lowry. Like, you know, there's going to be guys that are going to be tough for them to defend. The conference is going to be littered with point guards. The other thing I kind of want to talk about, which I think is really interesting, is Chris Paul. Not that it pertains to the Heat directly, but there's a lot of indirect effects to Chris Paul, right? So, you know, there were some rumors about him going to the Bucks, right? How good of a fit that would be. And honestly, like, CP3 on the Bucks 100% makes him a contender right now. Like,
that is terrifying to me.
They'd be overwhelming title favorites, you know, with Chris Paul. I mean,
they'll be finals favorites for sure. I think
barring a miracle, I mean, like, there's just not much another team can do, especially if Chris Paul's having the season that he had last year next to Giannis. I mean, Eric Bledsoe, you know, Chris Paul's not as good as a defender as Eric Bledsoe, but he's still really good. He can do a lot of similar things. It's such an upgrade.
Yeah.
Oh, it's incredible. And, you know, if they just flip Eric Bledsoe and some stuff, right, and they can keep Middleton and all that, like, it's terrifying. Phoenix has emerged as a potential landing spot for Chris Paul. And if they're really aggressive and if they can give Oklahoma City what they want, and they have some young players that they can flip. They have stuff, right? The Phoenix Suns have a lot of stuff. And getting Chris Paul away from Milwaukee and just out of their conference in general is huge for the Heat.
James Jones.
James Jones, baby.
Let's go.
James Jones, Heat lifer.
JJ.
He took one for the team. Pat said, hold on, we can't let Chris Paul go to the Bucks. I mean, all of this just, it's like a light bulb just went off in my head.
It's so clutch for the Heat. If you want your point guard, right?
There you go.
I mean, honestly, like, the fit in Phoenix is great. I mean, they can move Ricky Rubio on draft night very easily. I think Rubio's in that deal
because he's expiring, I think.
Rubio, Oubre, that's another pick or something.
Yeah.
Rubio, and then Kelly Oubre would probably be the name piece to actually be Kelly Oubre. Pick.
A lot of draft equity. You can send young players. You can send expiring contracts. You can send Oklahoma City a bunch of stuff for Chris Paul. And, by the way, you know, kind of, not that this is an Oklahoma City Thunder show, but, like, shout out to Sam Presti. Like, Zach Lowe was talking about this on his pod, how he flipped Serge Ibaka, right? So if you really go down the rabbit hole of everything that was moved, he flipped Serge Ibaka for Oladipo and Sabonis, and then Oladipo and Sabonis became Paul George, and now Paul George became Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and five first round picks. Like, that's Patriots shit. That's what, like, the Patriots do. It's just like, you gotta go back and you're like, damn it, Baca got him all that.
And Gallinari.
And the Magic are the 8 seed. And whatever they flip Gallo for, because I'm sure that even if they sign and trade Gallo, they'll get stuff. I mean, it's pretty incredible. I mean, like,
He should have won executive of the year.
100%. Who won?
I mean, was I don't know. I guess that's too much of what we hate as far as...
Wait, is that basketball hipster?
Basketball hipster and just the whole acid thing. Like, yeah, this guy's executive of the year because he got seven first-round picks.
I think he did, didn't he?
No, I don't think so.
I think the Clippers executive did, right?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Or the Lakers executive. Or no, Palinka. Did Palinka win it?
Yeah, it was Lawrence Frank.
Yeah. Oh, that's Woj's guy. Yo, Woj is a propaganda machine for Lawrence Frank. It's amazing. I just think that's funny. All right, moving on. So yeah,
can we talk about the Chad Johnson tweet from last night?
Brian, what happened with Chad Johnson? I don't know what happened.
So Chad Johnson went on like this really weird tweeting spree at 12, like past.
Who's Chad Johnson?
Chad Ochocinco. Ocho. Sorry.
Ocho. Oh, okay. Ochocinco.
It's funny that
former Dolphin.
Yeah, former Dolphin. He didn't even play a regular season game. He played like two practice.
Didn't he get in trouble for something? Never mind.
No, that's not him.
Yeah, no, it is. No, it is. Yeah, no, his I think ex-wife now. Whatever. Yeah.
Okay, moving on.
I think you're thinking of Brandon Marshall. He was the one that got stabbed by his wife.
Wait, what? No, but Ocho didn't. I don't know. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
Whatever. Keep going. I'm sorry.
Dolphins are good, by the way. Go Dolphins. After conversing with Jimmy Butler, we are making a huge splash via trade, but I'm sworn to secrecy, but I'm excited for my Miami Heat this upcoming season.
He's doing the Leif by just tweeting out eye emojis. Don't fall for it.
Wait, Leif didn't do that.
No, that's Christian did.
That's Christian. That's Heat. That's Heat beat right there.
That's my possible. The eyeball, by the way, chat, eyeball emojis always mean something. Now, maybe we can't tell you because we don't have all the informational pieces.
Maybe it's big, it's small.
Or we're not allowed to share anything.
We're not allowed to share, but like when there are eyeballs tweeted or when there's a wow tweeted.
Something's happening.
There's stuff.
Something's happening.
You know, there's stuff. You know, are we comfortable reporting it? Not really, but, you know, we hear stuff. That's how it comes up. So Chad Ochocinco says that the Heat are going to make a big move.
And then, like, following that, like, minutes later, he posts a tweet of a killer whale in the ocean.
He's one of us.
Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, and you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire, with 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month. Indeed is going to get you the most important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere right now at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply, only valid through September 30th. The wait is finally over. Football is back. And you might not be at the game this year, but you will be on in the action with BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure that you get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you the most options to wager than anyone else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head over to BetOnline today and take advantage of the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
And before that, he says, I can make this happen in a quote response to HeatNation.com, which is a picture of James Harden in a Miami Heat jersey.
Shout out Drew Star on Twitter, by the way, who pointed out that they're both Adidas guys.
They're both Adidas ambassadors.
Would you
remember when Ochocinco was going to make Beal happen?
Oh, that's right. That was another tweet.
That was another tweet.
I also have some inside info on Ocho.
Oh. Yeah.
So that was all happening last night, right? When he tweeted all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also happen to know through a source that Ocho was recording the podcast that he has been on with Brandon Marshall while these tweets were sent. So
it was on with Crowder, right?
Right. So I know I don't know
way
anything
out,
about
way to out the source.
Yeah. So I don't know anything. I don't know anything
about it. There was a picture of Crowder there.
Yeah. So I don't know anything about his conversations with Jimmy, but I do know that alcohol is involved in the taping of I Am Athlete. And if you mix Ocho, alcohol, and heat tweets, I mean, that's all
I'm saying. Basically us. So. It's us. It's
right,
us.
Right. Right.
Okay. I like what you're doing though. You're giving us good context. Yeah. You're painting the picture.
Painting the picture.
I love Ocho, but I also know what happens at these I Am Athlete tapings because I work closely with somebody who's involved in it. And
good information, man.
Do you want to retract the I love Ocho?
Nah, I love Ocho. I like Ocho. Okay, I like Ocho. I like Ocho.
Okay. What are you saying, Brian?
Is that controversial? Yeah, I don't know.
Pokey Sticks on our chat saying, didn't Ocho Cinco also foreshadow Jimmy coming to Miami? Yes, he did.
Ocho's plugged in. Ocho's as plugged in as anybody. So, you know, it's eyeball emoji. Would y'all be willing to sacrifice a shot at Giannis for James Harden? Now,
that's the question, isn't it?
Now, I think this
we should have led the show with this. I gotta be honest with you. This should have been the leader.
You put it up to me. I don't know why you did that.
I don't know. Yeah, and to be honest with you,
when you gave me that option,
I was discombobulated because of everything that happened prior. That nothing worked. I was arrested. Listen, we got here eventually. You know, we've heard things. You know, there have been reports. There have been rumblings. We've heard things.
They talked at the bubble, and I can share this because Lates tweeted us at Chef Trilly on the timeline. but yes, he definitely did talk. Not the Heat, like Jimmy
Harden
and
Bam. Yeah. I mean, sorry, yeah, Jimmy and Bam talked worked out with Harden.
Yeah, but I'm not even saying Harden. I'm saying some of the Giannis stuff. Like, you know, there've been talks.
Oh yeah,
about...
there's Giannis stuff we can't say, but. Yeah,
people have reason to believe that, you know, stuff could look pretty good. We're not sure, but, you know, there's people that think that, you know, he'd have a pretty good shot out here.
Why are you guys, like, there's somebody who already went on the record and said this.
Who?
Right? Like
Ashley Nicholson?
Right. Ash yeah, I'm forgetting her.
By
her
the way.
Name, but she said that Giannis has an apartment down here, and she's heard, according to a source, that he would be willing to sign a long-term deal down here, right? Isn't that what she tweeted last week?
Yeah,
and everybody on he tweeted.
And,
right, so we don't have to...
And he wouldn't sign a long-term deal in Golden State, which...
Brian, what's wrong with you? Why are you moving back and forth like that? Are you okay?
Like Stevie Wonder.
What the fuck's wrong? Are you malfunctioning?
He's thinking of Westbrook and
the
Magic.
What the fuck is this?
He's just excited.
You look like what's wrong with you?
I forget we're on.
Stay still. Like,
guys, I mean, Giancarlo, I mean, we should all be on Brian's level right now. We went through 4 years of Hassan and, you know, Josh Richardson being like your second best player. And now we're like, yeah, which one do you choose, Harden or Giannis? Do we give up time? Are two white guys for Harden? Yes or no?
Oh, we have to keep dunking, man.
Oh,
I really
my
don't
God,
want to give him up.
So,
I really don't.
That is so funny. That's Alex. You're so fucking right.
Can I just jump the gun here?
Who's a better backcourt? Is it Harden and Duncan, or is it Steph and Clay?
Westbrook and Hero and Houston.
Yes. Solana, what you got?
I was just going to say, like, for as much as everybody likes to talk about Harden not having the culture, not having the right fit, isolation ball, ugly play, I'm sorry, man. The way I look at it, if you are Pat Riley, we all know how Riley thinks, and you can pair James Harden, Bam, and Jimmy tomorrow, you do it. Like, that's the way I process all of this. Pat Riley is not missing the opportunity tomorrow to pair those three guys. That's the way I look at it. So when everybody's talking about the fit doesn't work, he doesn't have culture, okay, like, Riley doesn't give a fuck. He'll pair that three. That's the best trio in the NBA.
Great basketball fit. Like,
tantalizing.
That's the best trio in the NBA. Right. And I'm not even looking at it as a fan. I'm just looking at it as how we know Pat Riley, the Godfather, operates.
Imagine what Spo would do with Harden.
Jimmy Butler would be the third best player on the team.
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy. It's fucking wild.
We're back.
We just had the greatest finals. We arguably the greatest finals game we've ever seen twice.
Culture.
And he's the third best player.
Spo is going to rise up the ranks even more of the coaching Hall of Fame once he gets Harden to ring.
Oh, my God.
He did the impossible.
I have a question, Alex. How much slander do we have to delete if the Heat get Harden?
Oh, a lot.
Honestly, we should all leave it there. We should all leave it there.
If Harden wins Finals MVP, where does that rank in the Wade conversation?
Ah, no, that's another. There are angles to this. There's level. Alex is like, no, fuck it, titles.
Oh my God, that's so true.
Fuck, we're so petty, Brian. We're petty, and part of the reason why I don't like Harden is because of the Wade comps. Wade might have to unretire to get another ring.
That's not his fault, though. It's not his fault.
Yeah, but we're getting Harden for Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson, not Dwayne Wade. So I think that's like this is such a like. I mean, if that becomes available, this is a prime opportunity for like a perennial 5 year in a row MVP runner up. I mean, is he what a top 10 scorer ever, top 5 scorer ever?
Harden? Yeah.
Not in the playoffs. That's for damn sure. But
isn't Harden the? Wait, hold on. Like, am I crazy?
He might be
like,
number one. He might be
the best. Just score. Just pure score.
If we're just talking, I mean, if we're not talking playoffs, then he's there.
KD.
But
yeah, KD.
Well, Harden's up there, man. KD, LeBron, and Jordan. System,
let him isolate five out. I guarantee you, KD would just be fucking tormenting people for 50 a game.
Yeah, it's true. That's true.
Yeah,
and I think he would not be in that system here. He would not be in that system at all here.
Can you guard a point of attack though?
No.
Who cares? They're gonna score a billion points. What the fuck does that matter?
You hide him on the wing. Do not put him on the point guard. That's for
Brian. They just had Dragic and Tyler and made the finals. Who the fuck cares?
I feel like they could get in the play really good on defense though.
I don't know.
Let Jimmy guard whoever you need him to guard.
Jimmy's not gonna need to run the offense.
Right. Look, he won't have to score. So like,
I saw Gerald Green turn to a great NBA defender on this culture.
That's so fucking true. Gerald Green was a competent defender. Honestly, like that's Spo's Hall of Fame resume.
How many guys has Spo turned into decent defenders? Can we go through that?
Jones Jr.
Magruder.
Yeah. Who was
Okara White for like 3 weeks was
Chris Bosh Light.
Yeah.
Who was a known commodity and then improved their defense once they got here?
Even if they weren't a good commodity. You're gonna laugh at this? Chris Bosh.
Crowder.
Oh yeah, no. That's true. That's just facts.
I mean Chris Bosh was not like an all defensive level center, right? Like I think anybody worth their salt in basketball analysis will tell you like the way he improved on defense here. One of the best pick and roll big defenders in the league during his time, absolutely incredible. LeBron too, by the way. I mean, LeBron has not played defense like he did here since this year. He had a really good defensive year. I cannot knock him, but I mean, he played some of the best defenses ever played in his life here in Miami. Arguably the best. I mean, on both ends. I've said this a lot in the pod. You know, the way that Spoelstra used guards as weak side help defenders, you know, particularly Dwayne and the athleticism as shot blocking rim defenders, it allowed a lot of flexibility to get out in passing lanes, to get out on shooters, right? You kind of keep your bigs in the middle to contest shots, and if they get beat, you have another guy that you can trust, you know, to contest at the rim. And that's partly why Dwayne has a lot of blocks, right? Because he's very capable, and he was put in a system in which he was trusted to do that. So, I mean, Spo's incredible. I mean, I think if Harden's just whatever defender, it just doesn't matter. I mean, they're going
to... Willie Reed. Shout out to Willie Reed.
Willie Reed. Hassan.
Hassan definitely became a good defender here. Someone's saying, wouldn't have to worry about defending a point guard because Jimmy and Harden would have them in foul trouble all game long.
Oh,
I mean, that's true. They won't. You know what I mean? So.
Oh, my God. They would maybe be the best free throw rate team all time between Jimmy, Harden, and I guess you could
include
Bam in there, too.
How long are currently right now? Like 2.5 hours? It'll be like 3.5 hours.
I mean, well, they're going to be blowing teams out by like 30 points, so it won't matter.
Actually,
you know, it's gonna be...
I'm out on Harden. Never mind. I changed my mind. If the game.
Oh,
because
you have to be
long.
At the arena till late. Yeah, you don't want
to...
Yeah.
I have to go Uber up. After the game. Like, no, man, never mind.
And you have to Harden edit the podcast after. Yeah, it's tough for you.
I have to edit, and I bet, like, I bet Harden is one of those superstars that, you know, takes like an hour-long shower after the game before he does media, like Kawhi. So yeah, I'm out.
Wait, Kawhi takes a long shower? Why?
Kawhi takes the longest showers. The longest.
I've heard
Ibaka. Thing.
I've heard Ibaka takes forever to get ready. So it's like he's impossible to get to. You got to wait like an hour and a half.
That's Kawhi, man. That's Kawhi. You wait an
Ibaka
hour for
has
Kawhi.
No hair.
Listen, I'm gonna give Chad a little nugget. So I'll never forget. I was covering Heat Raptors, and I was in the press conference room waiting for Spo to come out, and everyone in the media room was just kind of rooting for results based off of scheduling. It's just great because that's what it is in the media. You want to be with your kids, right? You're just like, oh, you know this, and like they're talking about like this, like that's you root for you when you're in the media. There's a lot of me talk in the media rooms.
Yeah,
look at Alex. Alex is pointing case. Alex is indoctrinated to the system. Alex is like, what about me? How does this affect me?
Yeah, this is not even going to affect me at all because we're not going to be. I'm not going to be allowed at a game for like a year.
Yeah, until 2026.
And it's got nothing to do with COVID.
when people wanted the NBA schedule to be NBA Twitter is like, oh, you know, December to October, whatever, I don't know, like whatever the schedule, and NBA writers are like, whoa, I want the summers with my kids. What are you talking about? Why are you doing this to me? Always thought that was a funny angle.
So when do we get to the mailbag?
I wanted to get to it soon. I kind of wanted to close out some of the Harden stuff and the Giannis stuff, like, you know. I don't even know. I mean, I think if Harden becomes available, you know, let's say
if Miami could get Harden by getting rid of Hero, say Duncan Robinson, none, and then it's to match Shaw, you have to give up Iggy and Kelly.
I don't think Miami's going to have enough.
But they could bring back Dragic with his bird rights. And then maybe by chance, if whoever the power forwards, Ibaka, Gallo, or Millsap will come here for the mid-level, is that team going to the finals and will they win?
So
I think they would.
I thought G was going to answer the question.
Well, go. No, G, go.
Wait, can you repeat that?
So, yeah, I wanted you to repeat it. I was looking at Harden's contract.
So the trade would be, because it's to make the money work, it's really going to take Kelly to opt in. Kelly in his $13 or $14 million contract to opt in. You're going to have to trade Iggy in his $15 million contract. Then you would have to include Hero as an asset, probably Duncan Robinson and Kendrick Nunn, most likely. That'd be the trade for picks. Maybe
you do it.
Trade.
For Harden?
Yeah, for Harden. And then you could still bring back Dragic with his bird rights.
That scenario, you keep number 20.
You could probably bring back Crowder too, actually. I'm thinking about it. So you could probably bring back you can bring back two of your starting group, add Harden to the group.
You have an MLE and the
biannual. And you still have an MLE that you can use, a full mid-level that you can use.
And a biannual.
Are the Rockets doing that? I don't think the Rockets are giving up Harden if it doesn't include Hero. Like I think it's got to be Hero included.
It has to be Tyler. Has to be the centerpiece of that trade. 100%. Yeah. So the thing I'll say about Houston is, so Harden has a $47 million player option in 2022. I imagine he'll take that.
Yeah. I mean, he'll be 33 then, so he's not going to be super old.
Yeah, but I mean, with the cap shrinking, I think you're going to take your $47 million guaranteed.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No, he will.
And kind of ride with that, right? So the Rockets have time to decide whether to move him or not. I mean, they're still really into this, and they still have time to retool. I mean, Westbrook, I don't think that the choice will have to be made for Miami, in which they have to pick one or the other, because Giannis will certainly happen first, or they will happen at the same time. It will be in the summer of next season. Wait, and at that point, I'm saying at the earliest, I think that Harden will become available would be then. I mean,
if he is going to be available this year.
No, I think you're off there. I mean,
you think Harden's on the table earlier?
So yeah, I mean, before my thinking was they're going to go into it with another year of, you know, Harden and Russ. They're not going to abandon it after 1 year. These guys have been best friends since they were kids or whatever. But no, I mean, listen, from the reports, it sounds like if Westbrook is out, it's Harden watch. That's the mentality I'm in right now. Like, what is he going to stay there for? Like, I just don't understand. Like,
but I'm Maury's saying from out, Houston's
D'Antoni's
perspective.
Out. No, I mean, so, like, I'm just saying, I think Harden that depends
and
on
you
Westbrook.
Say, but you, if Harden says I want out, right? What if you're the Rockets? Okay, we'll find a place to send you, but you know, we're gonna take the best deal because you're under contract until 2023 because you're gonna take your $47 million option, right? And you could threaten it all you want, but I mean, let's be real, right? So Houston is in the driver's seat of what they're gonna take. Now, obviously, superstars can drive their way to what they want, and as we've seen with the Lakers and with the Clippers, right, there are bounties to be paid for these kinds of supers. And James Harden is better than Anthony Davis and Paul George, right? He's not, you know, he's about in Anthony Davis's class. They're peers in terms of where they are in terms of stardom in the league, right? And we saw what that cost.
He's a top five player.
You know, it's every pick you have, it's every asset you have, maybe minus one, right? And that's the bounty it's going to take. Now, does Miami's, you know, but also Anthony Davis was a free agent, was going to be a free agent sooner, right? Anthony Davis had more leverage in this situation. Harden doesn't, has some, but doesn't have as much. So Houston will be able to field offers that if Miami doesn't give, empty the tank, they might get outbid.
Yeah.
But
no, that's all fair.
Yeah. But what I'm, but the thing is, like, I don't think that'll happen earlier than next. That's not going to happen this summer, this offseason.
I'm not as sure. I'm really not as sure.
I don't think. I think they're going to try to run it. I think they're going to see if they could. They're going to try to move Westbrook. They're going to try to get some assets. They're going to try to make the playoffs. Houston doesn't have like a lot of draft picks either. Houston.
I just don't see why Harden sticks around for that. Like, maybe he does this year, but
I don't think Westbrook is out. For the Westbrook deal, D'Antoni out.
Like, but Alex, what does
they can't tank. They don't have their picks.
I don't think they try to move Westbrook, by the way.
But he could request a trade.
I'm not talking about tanking, though.
But Westbrook wants out, right?
That's really what I'm talking about here. I just don't really.
I'm talking about Harden.
He's going to. Okay, but I'm saying Westbrook is the X factor here because Harden doesn't become available. In my eyes, I don't have real information. I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
That's my read on it, that Westbrook is kind of the X factor as far as accelerating the Harden thing. Like I said, I agree with you. My thinking has been it really makes a lot of sense for them to run it back. Again, let's add the context. Steven Silas, John Lucas, the two coaches that Harden and Russ wanted. I've been hearing, from actual reporters on podcasts and The Athletic saying that those are the guys they wanted. And they were consulted and all of this. But again, like, Harden is not answering texts to anybody, including the coaches that he just co-signed. Like, it was known that he wanted Steven Silas and John Lucas, and they got both of them. So I just think the whole thing just is shaky. Like, there's something weird going on, and I don't know if he's gonna want to stay. Like, I just think everything that has to do with Houston, all the stability's gone. And if Westbrook is gone, like, I don't see Harden wanting to stay there unless they get like a Jrue Holiday or some type of comparable talent.
But they can't. That's the problem. Like, Westbrook makes so much money, and his stock is so down right now that they're not trading for anybody better than Westbrook, right? Like, yeah. They might get picks out of it.
Unless you can get Jrue somehow, but that doesn't seem like a three-team deal. You know what I'm saying? But that doesn't seem likely at all, though.
I think to unload Westbrook, you're going to have to add some picks to it. Like, and they don't have anything. That's why I think as much as Westbrook wants out, he's stuck, man. Like Westbrook needs to elevate his play, have a much better season in order to get traded.
I think there's going to be a market for him, though. I thought he had a really strong regular season, man. And like you
Alex,
said,
there's a lot of teams.
Yeah, like, I think he's the playoffs. Yeah, 100%. I think that matters to teams, even though we make fun of being in the point that the Heat have been for the last 3 years.
I will say this.
It matters to these teams. They want to get
it's
there.
It's going to be a little different. I think that's something we got to also factor in because, you know, a lot of times we look at a team and their motivation to make the playoffs, right? And that kind of informs some trade talks and values of stuff and blah, 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 which is important for every team, right? Because you need to know how to get to the market. You know, because there's – if there are fans, it's not going to be 100% capacity for sure. And the door price is a big reason why teams want to make the playoffs. So let's also keep that in mind as well. You know, maybe a team, true, you know, wants to make the playoffs, but, yeah, you know, it's a lot of
this
money.
This should be the year to tank, by the way.
You know, you're still going to get some of that TV revenue money, right? So you do get a cut of that, but it's not, you know, and if you have a limit of 1/4 capacity right at your stadium, you're still getting some door fee, but it's not. It's not the same, right? When you sell out.
And did you see that they're trying to do it for like the suites or whatever, so they can get real?
Yeah. And courtside.
The courtside should not be allowed. Get out of here.
Of course,
man.
Not. The league is ridiculous. The Lakers aren't. Ridiculous. The Lakers and the Clippers aren't allowing fans in there.
You have
an
entire arena. Why do people need to be courtside? You have in a whole 20,000 seats. Why do they need to be right there? Like,
we just saw how good it looked in the bubble when players had more space, and you just first thing you want to do is take it away.
You could make that argument. You could make that argument even when it wasn't COVID. Like, why the fuck are there people courtside? And why the photographer's sitting literally where the players land every possession on the baseline? Like, it doesn't make
sense. Shout out to Oscar Baldizon.
That's right.
All right, guys.
That's right.
Yeah, shout out to Oscar with the school of them. He's a co-host of Panther Sports Talk Live with Solana, Alex, and I. So
we're all FIU alumni here.
And now, subsequently, a bird watcher.
Yeah.
In Colorado. Yeah.
Fascinating life.
Yeah.
Baldizano's live. Photographer. Yeah. All right. So we got to get to our mailbag. So everybody that has stuck with us, we appreciate you. We love all the viewers in chat. You guys have been awesome. We're going to be doing these mailbags often. So if you tweet us using the hashtag MHB Mayo. We're going to answer all your questions live on air with whoever we have on the show today. So let's get started on some of these. We're going to have production next time. You know, we used to have production on the mailbags with music and everything. We're going to get that back for next month. We're going to have some more production. So we're excited. So we have Brian is the King on Twitter asks, how does KZ Okpala get minutes?
DJJ now, has to leave.
Honestly, still, that's a guy that if Derek isn't here, right? And, you know, I don't know if the Heat are going to have, you know, Derek's a young player, you know, who's going to want some years, right? I don't really think the Heat are going to be in position to offer Derek, you know, 3 or 4 years or whatever he's looking to, you know, the Heat aren't really going to be in that kind of position to offer him that kind of deal. And, you know, if you've read my article on MiamiHeatBeat.com, you know, I kind of outline their cap situation and what they have, right? So I don't really think that Derek fits into their cap structure as of now, unless they move a guy, you know, and they kind of create some additional space. I just don't see where Derek's going to fit long term. I'm sure that he wants to be here. I know that he does have Alex, you know, a friendship with Bam, and I know the organization likes him. That dude works really hard. It's tough for me to see where he's going to fit in later. So I do think
there's other teams that are going to give him multi-year deals and more money.
Teams like, so, you know, young teams that want to run up and down the floor. Phoenix, Atlanta.
Atlanta makes
not
no
Phoenix.
Sense.
Not Phoenix. Oh, that's right. Yeah, he was in Phoenix. Ooh, never mind. Yeah, but there's going to be
Atlanta,
teams,
Chicago,
you know, Orlando,
Charlotte, Cleveland,
you know, Detroit. There's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be interested in a guy like him. So yeah. I think without Derek, you know, and if KZ's kind of ready, you know, I think Miami's going to have to kind of throw him out to see what they have. I mean, this, you know, Duncan took the leap in year two, right, after not playing basically at all, right? So KZ's kind of falling in a similar mold. I know KZ had the injury stuff. They value him really. They think a lot of him in the organization internally, we've heard. So I think that, you know, even if they get a guy like Gallinari or Millsap or Wes Matthews in free agency or whatever, I do think that this, you know, for the grind of 72 games, you know, they're gonna see what they have in KZ Okpala, and they're gonna be able to make a decision on him. Why are you laughing, Solana?
I just love that. I was just thinking about during the finals, people were literally calling for KZ to play, like
at me,
this mystique around KZ. And by the way, I love it. Like, I'm
is that us?
In.
Did we do that?
I think so. I think so because
we have pull here. We made Justice Better a thing. Now we're making free KZ a thing. Let's go.
KZ didn't play basically at all this entire season. We didn't see him in the bubble at all. But people literally were calling for him to play minutes in the NBA finals. Your team gets to the NBA finals without him, and people were so invested into this mystique about KZ, free KZ, that we're calling for him in the NBA finals. I just think Heat Twitter is like no other Twitter, like no other fan base. Like, we're out of our fucking minds.
It's like
calling
this guy,
for KZ.
He's got
how
he had
dare
like
chat
one game in Sacramento, dude. He played the 2-3
we'll live
zone
on that
for
forever.
Possessions and got a
this
steal.
Is
like this guy, he's Giannis.
That's it. So chats, listen, not I don't want to really go back to the Harden conversation, but chat, how dare you, CCK Ryan, how dare you compare James Harden to Deion Waiters? They're not the same.
Yeah, Deion's better.
How dare you?
Huh?
How dare you, chat?
Yeah, at least Deion has a ring.
Kiva at Bit Bisexual asks, with the success of Big Face Coffee, what Heat player do you think is most likely to express an entrepreneurship streak? And what would their business be? Big Face Coffee may launch, you know, I mean, it's for sure Andre and Group of Economics. Andre's going to launch some sort of stock trader.
Andre buys in on like low key tech businesses already on their way up.
Yeah, Andre, listen, Andre, Udonis is in the subway business. You know, Kiva, there's a lot of entrepreneurship on this Heat team. Udonis has subways and Einstein's bagels everywhere in Miami. Isn't Udonis
like Dunkin' Donuts too, right?
Is he?
Yeah, a couple Dunkin' Donuts.
Look at you.
He has
Mogul.
Einstein's bagels. I was there for that
Mogul.
Opening.
Does he have his own burger at the that place, the burger place? The
Miami Subs? Doesn't he have Miami Subs steak as well?
Did they have the restaurant
the Dwayne,
with Dwayne?
The one where you met where
yes,
you saw 800 Dwayne.
Degrees.
800
degrees.
Degrees. Right.
Yeah.
I would like to see Goran as the entrepreneur. Opening businesses in Miami.
Doesn't Goran have like a hat line or something? Like his own logo that Jimmy Butler wears all the time in the locker room?
Yeah, chat saying that Goran's going to mass produce hats.
The dragon hat. Honestly, shit was kind of fresh. Maybe it's because Jimmy Butler was wearing it, but I think I'd buy it.
Jimmy's going to be the brand ambassador.
I cop.
That's a cop.
Alfonso Hoops asks, you know, our own Jack Alfonso trash tweeter asks, now that I'm doing Locked On episodes, how long before you declare bankruptcy? Hashtag MHB mail. Listen, over there at the Deuces Podcast Network, they have gone bankrupt several times and they've had several embezzling scandals. That is not us. We are not the Deuces Podcast Network. We stand firm. We stand strong. We are a solid business that we are honest. We pay our taxes. So, you know,
I make nearly as much money as them.
I mean, we don't make as much. I mean, they're clearly embezzling money. There's some funny business going on over there at the Deuces. I don't know about Lockdown. I don't know what David Ramil's doing.
You're going to stick the IRS on the Deuces.
Jack also does not work for Lockdown. This is an elaborate bit. Carmic Bead asks, who realistically is the ideal starting point guard for the Heat next season? Can it be a guy already in the roster, or can they get a guy in free agency or trade?
Harden.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit hard.
Jimmy's the point guard. Harden's the shooting guard.
So to kind of revisit
anyone
what
but
we talk-
Kendrick Nunn, please.
So wow. I think that it's if they keep Nunn on the roster, and if they keep Nunn and Goran, I'm pretty sure Nunn is going to be the starter. I think that they like Goran off the bench, and in the playoffs they can change it. I think for just the run of the 72 games, I think preserving Goran is important. I think that you need
think
to
it's
take care of his
Goran?
Body. I mean, especially Goran coming off an injury, I don't think he's going to start right away.
And he won't be ready. He probably won't be ready by December 22nd. So
are forgetting.
I haven't even thought about that angle, Alex. I mean, the injury was not that long ago, so.
No, like you know. Why rush him back? Like the Heat are going to make the playoffs regardless, right? Like they don't need Goran to make the playoffs or for a playoff push early on in the season. So
I mean, why bring him back? Iguodala resting a lot.
Really quickly, by the way, I know we keep throwing Iggy into. I wanted to say this earlier. I know we keep throwing Iggy into trade trade talks, and yeah, expiring contract. I think Spo specifically, but you know, the front office really values what Iguodala brings. Like truly, and I totally get why we're throwing him into all these trade conversations. But I don't think they trade Iguodala.
I don't think
I just don't.
Disagree. He was brought in for two reasons. He was brought in, one, to patch up their weird defensive issues, and number two, to trade him. And for salary cap purposes, because he also has a team option, which is a sneaky good thing to have if you're a team that wants to roll over cap space, right? So, you know, let's say you're not really players in 21, so you want to roll over that cap space. I mean, there's tons you can do with Andre, right? Or if a team just needs
him. But that's
the
thing. You nailed it. It's about the options. I don't think it's about wanting to trade him. I think trading him is an option.
It's a team option.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the thing with Andre, you nailed it, is that you have options of what you can do with him depending on what you want to do in free agency, more so than, okay, it's because you want to trade him. I think you could trade him if an opportunity becomes available. I don't think they want to trade him. I'm with Solana here. Like, I think they look at him as...
I think if it's something good, they'll trade for him. I don't think they're just going to trade him.
Oh, no, for sure, for sure.
Because they need him at salaries.
So they have a trade exception that, Brian, does it expire in November, the $7.5 million trade exception?
Pretty sure expires in
November 30th.
Whenever I put on the story.
Oh, actually, it might be. It might be in February. It actually might be in February.
It's pretty sure they have a.
I have it.
They have a. They have a $7.5 million trade exception. They have Kelly Olynyk's $12.5 million contract, and they have Andre's $50 million contract. You know, that's kind of how you get the $30 million. Right? That's how you get in the range of a star, right? The stars with those big contracts. That's how you get in the game with those kinds of contracts. So the Andre contract is just valuable because it's a good mid-sized contract. And it's an easy contract for a team to offload. So if you, let's say you're Houston, for example, right, and you trade for James Harden, right, whatever, and you give him Andre and stuff, right, Andre Kelly and stuff, right? So now Houston, you know, they have a contract of Andre that they can either trade for something because it's an asset, right? You have a player on a team option with $50 million expiring. That's valuable. So you can flip Andre for stuff, right, if you're a team that takes him. So that's kind of valuable. But to answer Carmic Bead's question, I'm pretty sure it's going to be none unless there's some extreme shakeup and they make some trade that we don't know about.
Did you forget about Tyler Hero? I think it's going to be him, man. I think, especially off of what kind of Leif and Ethan I think I've heard, I think they expect him to be on the fast track to be starting.
Ooh, I forgot about him.
This season.
Starting point guard? So you're saying, because so there's another
the
angle.
Guard, I don't know who's technically the point guard. I don't know if it's
there's
Jimmy
another
Hero,
angle to this.
That's
Duncan's
my guess.
Cap hold. If Duncan doesn't start X amount of games, the cap hold's different. Now, I'm not going to accuse the Heat of fudging
it's
the
not
numbers.
Just X amount of games, it's also minutes. It's also minutes, and
it's minutes.
He's well on his way. He's well on his
okay,
way.
Okay, so I'm just, you know, it's just an angle. You know, we love.
Unless you want Duncan to play like 10 to 15 minutes a game, which isn't happening, then yeah, he's going to get his.
Okay, never mind. So that's out the window. But
you're just adding an extra $1.5 million to his cap hold. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. You never know. But still, you just have to stretch Ryan Anderson. So every penny counts.
Kendrick Nunn is probably the one that they could probably get away with having a lower cap hold.
Remember when all of us sat next to Ryan Anderson at a restaurant in Wynwood at the table next to him?
Yes. KYU.
What?
We were in KYU and he was sitting behind us, and it was during a game that he didn't make a road trip for quote unquote personal reasons.
That's right. The Heat were playing, weren't they?
The Heat were on a road trip on the West Coast and he didn't travel for personal reasons. And then we were sitting, and then I think it might have been Kristen, and he goes, personal reasons, is sitting behind us.
Who was he with and what did he order?
We weren't watching like that. I mean, we're just trying to have a nice dinner at KYU.
He was looking
at his plate.
I was like, oh, what's? I was once in the locker room with Ryan Anderson post game, and Ryan Anderson was eating cheese cubes, and I asked him, "What are you having?" And he said, "This is cheddar." So that's the
cheddar.
That was
a crab.
So yeah, I didn't ask what brand. At Nonchalant John asks, if we strike out on Gallo, Ibaka, and other big free agents, should we go after a young player like Harry Giles or Melton that meet our floor needs, but we can improve our reliable veterans? So Nikias is pretty big on Melton, right?
Yeah.
Nikias
not as high as he is on Gary Payton in the second, though, who we call the best point of attack defender in the league.
I think if they strike out on those veterans, I think they're going to try to get other veterans. Frankly,
I think they should go after one of those cheaper young guys if they can anyways. Like, I think, like I said, Gary Payton, the second, if they can try to go after Javon Carter, Melton is a good name, but he might be a little bit more expensive. But like, if you can get a Javon Carter, Gary Payton the second for like a biannual $4 million exception, I'm good with that. Those guys can guard guards, you can develop them. I'm good with that for sure. But I mean, so, it depends. We got to talk about this because the draft comes before free agency. I guess,
which, by the way, guys, we're doing a draft podcast tomorrow. We're doing back-to-back pods, so we're going to go a whole breakdown of the draft and everything. We're going to have a draft expert on, so make sure to tune in tomorrow. It's not going to be live, but we're just going to post a pod to our feed, so check that out. Nonchalant John had a second question. Should we look at stealing Devin Robinson from Toronto as a developmental project? They have enough 6'8 to 6'10 positional guys that they can afford to lose one. Okay, that's a me question. I don't think so. I don't really think Miami has the time to start developing guys like that. I don't really think Toronto would part with him as well. I mean, I do, you know, that's a guy that they're going to want to flip for stuff, right? So they're, you know, especially now with the Terrence Ross situation, you know, with the domestic violence, you know, Terrence, you imagine Ross? That. Did I just call him Terrence Ross? Oh my God, I'm so sorry, Terrence Ross. Terrence Davis. Woof. I'm sorry, Terrence Ross. You did not do anything wrong. Terrence Davis and the domestic violence issue. So I mean, I haven't seen anything announced about that yet, but you know, I'm sure that there'll be consequences in the organization. Maybe they'll cut him, you know, we're not sure yet, but you know, I think they're going to want to keep their young assets as long as they can, so I don't really think that's a realistic thing that's going to happen. Brian M, our producer, asks, a lot has been made about getting these guards such as Depot or Drew. If we were to get one of these all-star type guards without giving up Hero or Duncan, will this slow down either of their growth? How would you work the minutes? I think that would help them. I think Duncan and Hero playing off a guy like Depot or Drew, I think that helps. I mean, especially because they're good spot-up shooters and they're good without the ball. And I think that, you know, when guys sit, you know, Tyler's going to get on-ball reps as a trigger man. I think in the long run, I don't think you want Tyler running a lot of your pick and roll. I just think genuinely, you know, unless you're really quick like Kemba Walker, small guys just tend to not be those kinds of players. I think it's good to have it in his bag, right? Like, you know, if you have a spread floor, you know, you can attack a closeout, you can attack some switches. But for the most part, I think you want kind of Tyler to play on the perimeter, kind of shoot, you know, work those angles, work those pull-ups, right? Not really, you know, create downhill super, super consistently. So if he's getting reps against second units, right, as a second option, I think that that's really good for his development, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody agrees.
I'm with you there. That's why I'm good with him starting, man. Like, I think he's ready for that. I think he showed that in the playoffs. And I'm not against him starting, by the way. Like I've said before, I think that's the best role for him as far as maximizing Kendrick Nunn. Like, I think he kind of needs to be in the starting lineup in order for him to look good. I'm still skeptical on not more than his fit with Gore and just how he looks not playing with Jimmy and Bam and Duncan and the looks that those guys end up setting him up with. I think, like, he looks a lot better in the starting lineup than off the bench, but I would still probably lean towards starting Hero just for the developmental aspect. Like you talked about, I think he's already showing those skills that you that you want him to have. Like if you're talking about an all-star trajectory, he showed it in his first season. So I think, you know, he's an accelerated prospect, accelerate his timeline and start him because he's skilled right now. He's advanced right now. He's making reads right now. Like I think he's worth starting at this point.
So Frankie G, our own 2K coach, asks, how mad would Johnny be if Tyler Johnson came back for the minimum? I would actually love it. I think Tyler Johnson would fit awesome. I think he's a point of attack defender they need. He has great hands. Yes. That he'd have a lot of really good passers. Guy can spot up shoot. That guy can defend. That guy can run the floor. Honestly, I'm fucking here for Tyler Johnson coming back. Now, would he come back? Probably not. Would the organization want him back? Probably not.
Why?
Would I be happy?
As far as I know, him and the organization left it in fine terms. Like
then let's go.
With a lot of players.
Listen, I think he's a great fit. I mean, but if he's going to sign the minimum, I think he makes way more sense in LA.
It would have been a lot more reliable to happen. James Johnson was still here. It's like, it was like his best friend. Like they were legit, like really, really close. But
the Johnson and Johnson thing was like a legit marketing strategy by the Heat. Like
they actually became like super close. Supposedly I read about that somewhere. I heard about it, that they're like super close. They watch each other's kids or something like that. Like, I don't remember what it was, man. But that was a weird dynamic that Heat culture birthed.
So Fate Steel Tay asks, what's the play so that the Heat can get Giannis? Listen, Tay. What's the play is you take the cap space and you sign him, especially with all the rumors. I mean, the Heat have done a really good job of kind of creating the space, right? Who's Meth Curry? Who is the chat accusing being called Meth Curry? Is that Tyler? You guys are mean. It's a chat. Get out of here. That's not nice.
That's so good.
What does that mean? That's bad. No. That's mean. Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. The Heat have done a good job of creating the cap space for Giannis. Everything's pretty much set as long as he, you know, they're going to have the money and then they're going to have the guys already set around him. Brian could probably comment more to the cap situation. Brian, we can't hear you. You're muted. That's an Alex thing to pull. That's a professional screw up thing to pull.
My mic also went out too.
Okay.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yes.
I'm assuming, yeah. So based on Albert's latest timeline from the last few days, because NBA finally gave out like the salary cap for this season, but also projections for next few seasons. So at the minimum, the cap's going to go up, I think they said by 2-3%, and by most like 10%. So at the minimum, the Heat will have enough for a max contract only on the condition that they don't extend Bam this offseason.
Yeah, that's the big trigger. But also Bam and Giannis have the same agent.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, I mean, we've seen how sometimes, you know, agents don't always work. You know, let's remember Henry Thomas with the Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade situation where, you know, Chris Bosh got his max deal and then that left no money for Dwayne. And that was a problem in the organization and with Dwayne and with Chris. You know, Henry did right by Chris Bosh and, you know, it didn't leave money for Dwayne. So it's, you know, agents, it's tough for an agent to balance, you know, two clients, especially if they want to be in the same place. I think that there's obviously stuff to look into, you know, if certain moves are done because of the same agent, but I don't think it's the end all be all.
Oh, here's the, yeah, here's not a tweet. Here's a tweet. So the 2021-22 salary cap will be between $112.4 million and $120 million. The Heat will be able to keep its core created Giannis size max salary slot and potentially have cap room left over at $112.4 million, anywhere from $0 to $9 million, or if the cap is at $120 million, anywhere from $6 million to $14 million, based on those assumptions. So that would lead me to believe that they could use their mid-level this year and possibly extend it out for a few seasons.
Yeah, Leif has also actually mentioned that as well, that if, you know, we've all kind of been talking about 2021 and the cap and all that, but if they really wanted to, like, if they felt like they had to give out, you know, a second or third year on the mid-level, if they could. They felt like, you know, they can do that and still find a way to create cap room just because of the multiple avenues that they have. And I feel like that might not necessarily be a problem, because even if you let a guy like Ibaka walk to the Lakers or the Nets or another team that's offering him multi-year deals, it seems like the Heat might not need to do that to be able to nab one of these veteran big guys that we've been talking about. It seems like, you know, some guys are actually really interested in the Heat already.
Yep.
Chat saying that they want to see what they can get from Denver for Andre. I don't really think that Andre really fills a need for them. I mean, they're going to need more shooting. I don't really think they can afford.
I think they can use the wing defender for sure.
They can use the wing defender, but I think you kind of hope that Gary Harris is better than Andre next year. I mean, Andre's going to be, what, 37 years old?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or no trade.
You have Michael Porter Jr. that you kind of, you know, Michael Porter, as bad as a defender as he is, you kind of hope he figures it out. I mean,
they should sell high on Porter Jr., by the way. I've been wanting to say that.
Oh, I'm out on that. No, they value him so much. That guy could be a special
offensive player. I'm surprised you're not with me here. Like, I think he could be a really, really good offensive player. He obviously showed that. But I just the red flags with him, you know.
There's a lot of red flags. Of red flags.
Where do you start? What's the first flag you want to bring
remember
up?
Remember when he leaked, so long ago, Adam Silver's COVID phone number by accident?
What? Oh, my God, that's right. Oh, my God.
That was the first red flag. Then the COVID truther. I mean, look, there's the fact that he has all the injuries. Issues. The Porter family, by the way, like all of those have had like crazy injury problems, by the way. Another red flag. The red flag that he doesn't play defense. Like, I just think, and yes, he's got great size, that he could be an okay defender with more time in the league. But I'm looking at him like, if he can get you a star, if you're the Nuggets, an organization like that, trade that man.
Didn't he kind of rip his teammates as well? A post-game Zoom conference or whatever.
There are so many red flags with that.
With Mike Malone,
he's just so cheap and under team control for a long time. I mean, it's like if he develops into something,
you can get Bradley Beal for him. Woo!
Oh, that changes the conversation. I mean, if you get Beal, you know, all bets are off. But
Nuggets beat.
Can
we talk about my idea of Westbrook to the Bucks so he could get Giannis to come over here quicker?
Oh yeah, no, that'd be great. I thought that was a great tweet by you. I mean, Westbrook's gonna. I mean, you thought Eric. I mean, but he already went through the Eric Bledsoe experience.
What do you mean?
It can't get worse than that.
Oh yeah, no doubt. It's still an upgrade.
I mean, it's an upgrade. Sure. It's an upgrade on offense.
How do the Bucks get Westbrook though? Like, what do they have to do?
You flip Bledsoe, you have pick equity, you know. I mean, as long as Bledsoe, DiVincenzo,
one pick.
Yeah, they have stuff that to give to Houston, right? You know.
If the Thunder can nab DiVincenzo in a pick, I think that might be enough. You know, whatever.
I think DiVincenzo, Ilyasova's expiring contract, Bledsoe. All right, we have a couple more questions and we're going to get out of your hair. So Football is Anime Podcast asks, why is Johnny such a basketball hipster? P.S. Magic Johnson or Dragic in today's NBA? Glad you asked. Listen, I've been accused
Magic
of being a basketball
hipster. Magic can't shoot,
Johnny. Huh? Magic I've been accused of being shoot. A basketball hipster a lot in the last couple weeks. Alex and Evan Cohen of ESPN West Palm have accused me of being such, and I probably am a basketball hipster. I think we're right about a lot of stuff. Maybe sometimes, you know, we care too much about 3-and-D guys that can't dribble, but you know what I mean? Maybe we know we're not big, you know, Allen Iverson fans. You know, it is what it is. Maybe, you know, we think Paul Millsap is like more impactful than Allen Iverson. We're probably wrong, right? We have bad takes. Yeah, you know, that's the price we pay for being basketball hipsters. Is it fun? Absolutely. Are we ridiculous? Totally. Are we kind of right? You know, we're all like a little bit like Daryl Morey. It's why the media really, really capes for Daryl Morey. Daryl's one of us, right? Like Daryl took what we thought to like the extreme, right? But it doesn't work. So it's like, you know, it kind of works, but it doesn't really work. You know what I mean? So I'm a proud basketball hipster. I don't know why I'm like this. About it. Like Nikias is a basketball hipster, but he's like smart about it. You know what I mean?
Answer the question though. Magic Johnson or Goran Dragic in today's NBA?
I think obviously I'm going Magic, but I do think that like Magic in today's NBA would not be as dominant. And don't say that. God. Wait a second.
The bait, and now here we go.
He's not gonna be like he's obviously gonna be
he
a Hall
be
of Fame
a
talent
top 10 player all time.
Magic Johnson's great. If he played in today's NBA, probably not.
If he had
doesn't
a career
play defense
in today's
and he can't
NBA,
shoot. Doesn't play defense.
Doesn't
and can't
play
shoot.
Defense. Magic. Really? I mean, look, man. In back in my day, watching. Okay, I'm done.
How many point guards? How many point guards that can't shoot are like you know, he'll be like, you know, a facsimile
he's a
6'9
point guard.
Bill, so is Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons, Magic Johnson is everything Ben Simmons is to basketball hipsters like you. Like
I know, but I don't like Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons does have a movie theater.
You really said that Magic Johnson.
That would have been the way
Ben
to
Simmons.
End the show now.
No, we have a couple more questions. I need to get to everybody's questions.
I'm gonna go.
No, hold on. We have three more. Let's go. Brian. At Squanch underscore. Brian, you're the fucking worst. I hate you. We're here for the fans.
He's Oladipo.
Yeah, Brian's Oladipo. You suck. Brian just wants to play PS5.
And now we're trying to get the audio to work.
Well, you know we're here now. At Squanch underscore me asks, what characters... I'm not going to... What characters do you think Smash starters main in Smash? Heat starters main in Smash? They're not cool enough to play Smash. They're all old and veterans, except for Tyler and Duncan. I don't think Duncan plays Smash.
They traded all the guys who play Smash.
Yeah, they played all the... Hassan used... Josh Richardson used Bowser. We have that
Hassan
on
is a Kirby guy for sure, right?
Hassan's a Kirby guy for sure, for sure. Gorn and Jimmy don't play... I think Tyler's too cool for video games.
That sucks because I'm a Kirby guy, so that sucks to hear.
Ooh, wow.
I know.
Which, by the way, chat, I think we're going to do some Smash and Mario Kart streams here on the Heapy Twitch account. So, say 2K. I don't have 2K, so I don't know how you can stream that. But if we can figure that out, yeah. We're gonna find some ways to stream some games here so you can kind of get in. Or maybe we'll even do like kind of a game nights with some of our listeners. So if y'all want to play Smash or 2K or Mario Kart or whatever with us, you know, you can hop in. I'm going to kind of shameless plug me. You know, if you go to twitch.tv/unavis103, you know, I'm playing Fire Emblem every Monday. I'm going through the Crimson Flower route on Maddening Mode. So you can kind of, you know, hang out with me, have a drink, you know, watch me play Fire Emblem. I'm pretty good at it, not going to lie. So you check that out. A couple more. Yeah, we could do Jackbox. We could do a couple. We could chat. You know, we'll do whatever you want. You tweet us some suggestions and we'll try to work that out. At Jack UTS, one of my favorite YouTubers. Shout out to Under the Scope. Why do you hate Backup Bigs so much? I don't hate backup bigs. I don't hate backup bigs.
My burner.
Yes. your burner's my favorite YouTuber. I just don't think that's what the Heat need. I don't think the Heat should be using a $10 million mid-level exception for backup big when they could use it on a starter.
All right, man. So let's just ask it right away then. What if they use that on, you know, I'm just going to throw out a name here, Paul Millsap. What would you take?
I'm in on that. But he's not a backup big. He starts.
Oh, so you're just talking about like a Tristan Thompson type or an Aaron
Yeah,
Baines.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about like Thompson Baines. Like I wouldn't want to commit a lot of money to that, right?
You wouldn't have though. I mean, I don't think Thompson's realistic. I think he's going to LA. But
if you
Baines,
get Thompson
you
for
commit.
The biannual, yeah, I'm in on that.
And you can get Baines for the biannual.
I'm in on can that. You? 100% in on that.
I don't know. I think he might be mid-level market.
Mid-level?
No,
I would love to get him for the biannual. I'm all in on Baines. Even if they get Millsap.
Our last question comes from our very own Alex M. Solana. When will the Heat give Mario Chalmers another run? Brian and I did some sort of media event watching a playoff game with Mario Chalmers via some sort of Zoom call with some company. Mario was asked several times about returning to the Heat. I think Mario's in on coming back. Now, whether the Heat are in on... I mean, Beasley got like five stints.
Yeah, if Beasley can get him, so can Chalmers.
And if Beasley can get it, so can Chalmers. You know, that's all I'm saying here.
I think the Heat owe it to him. I mean...
I think the Heat owe it just...
He saved Gerald Green's life.
He did. He did. Every he time won, I drive by the Marquise you, building, I think of that.
He won you two championships.
Oh, wow. Really? That's a hoity-toity prom. I had mine at what is it? Parrot Jungle on the beach.
That's
charter
nice.
School,
so
baby. Charter school.
Living. Is it nice? I always felt like that's not nice.
No, I went to a prom there. I went to a prom there once.
Oh, you went to a prom there? You've been to multiple proms.
Yeah, it was actually on back
to back
nights.
People go to multiple proms, Gianni.
Whoa, really? Yeah. Oh, yeah. We got a badass over here.
That was the Coral Reef prom, and then the very next night was my prom at the Marriott on like in Brickell.
Oh. Oh, see, I feel like I got the short end of the stick here. And it's not even like South Beach. Did you have a date that went to Coral Reef and you went to Coral Reef?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, Ryan, I didn't go to Coral Reef. I didn't go to Coral Reef.
No, your date went to Coral Reef.
Yeah.
So you did two proms. I brought a 21-year-old to prom. I felt pretty good.
Whoa.
Oh.
That increased my popularity. Yeah. So when people found out that my date was, you know, 21 and really hot. My reputation, my senior year, I got boosted a lot. I was always like medium popular. Yeah, I was like, you know, I knew people, but like I wasn't like in like. Yeah, I was like medium. Like it's kind of like my place on Heat Twitter. Like I'm medium, right? But then I became like Alf, right? Everybody suddenly started inviting me to functions. Everybody wanted to kind of hang out with me because they knew I hung out with college kids. So I played volleyball with college people, so it really changed the trajectory of my senior year of my life.
Wow, I mean, but you just outfit everybody in here with that one.
But hold on a second. Your senior year of life, prom is like 3 weeks before graduation. So I.
No, my prom was like a month or so before. Yeah.
Okay, like so the last month of your senior year.
Yeah,
was great.
That was big.
Best month.
Well, I always loved the story. So like I remember, so there was this girl that I really liked in high school, right? So I had asked her out. She had said yes. We were gonna go out, and then like the day of, she like kind of stood me up, which was whatever. That's fine. So then she and her boyfriend. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, oh, but she had a boyfriend?
No, no. I asked her out when we were in 10th grade, I think. And a lot more guts 11th, back I don't then. Remember. Yeah, 11th grade. It was 11th grade. And then in senior year, she and her boyfriend, her then not then boyfriend, were standing behind me while I was kind of, we were buying the prom ticket. So I had to say, okay, when you buy a ticket for a date, you have to say like where the date, who the date is, like how old they are. And when I said 21, her boyfriend taps me on the shoulder and daps me up and he goes, nice. I'd have never met her boyfriend before.
The only reaction.
I felt so powerful. I was like, yes. Yes.
I have a pretty good prom story. It wasn't my prom. The year after I graduated, Dwayne Wade went to my high school's prom.
Oh.
So you missed out.
Yeah, I missed out. And by the way, Carmageed on the chat says, at least you guys got a prom, stupid pandemic. That sucks, man. I'm sorry, Karmic Bead, 71.
Yeah, we'll throw
like,
a heapy prom. We'll throw a stream prom. We'll do something. We'll put like a layover. We'll have prom for weird. Everybody who couldn't have prom. It'll be for you, for Brady Hawk, for all the kids that couldn't have prom.
No, seriously, that sucks though, man. Like, I feel for you. Because prom, I remember prom. I remember prom being so much fun.
Did you go to grad night?
Universal? Yeah, I did.
Oh, wow. You had grad bash.
I had grad bash. Pitbull. I think it was Pitbull or DJ Khaled.
Pitbull always performs at grad bash. Yeah, I think Jason Derulo.
Oh, no. We saw Pitbull. It was DJ Khaled was also supposed to perform, but his bus caught on fire on the way there, so he didn't make it.
His bus was only in Dade before only in Dade was a thing.
Yeah, we did see
DJ
Pitbull.
DJ Khaled's bus caught on fire. Is that what you said?
Yeah. And that's what that was.
True story. No, he posted on IG. Yeah,
I was about to ask, is that some made up excuse?
Brian, were you at the same grad bash?
I was at the same one.
Oh,
damn.
Are you Kendall kids, man? I just realized.
Let's go.
Kendall here in one high
town. Are you guys the same age? What year did you graduate, Brian?
2012.
Must be. Yeah. 2012.
Alex? Wow. 2011. Alex, what was it? 2015?
2014.
You're 2014? Yeah. Damn, bro. You're young. Damn.
That's funny.
Prom stories on Heatbeat, baby. That's what we do.
That's what we're in the middle of the off-season. Off-season talk. Everybody, I want to thank y'all so much for staying with us this whole time. Started with Joe Green. We had it here. I appreciate everybody for coming, for staying. We're going to be doing – we have a podcast tomorrow. We have probably a podcast on Monday. We'll see. We're going to do the draft live. We're going to have a live podcast for the draft as we do every draft. So if you want our takes such as Epe Udo over Bam, if you want such takes like Tyler Hero has Adelita Arms, if you get the best draft coverage here. And by best, that means you will be able to clip us and make fun of us relentlessly. And on Twitch, it's a brand new easy way to clip us. So you're going to want to be here on draft night. We're going to cover the whole lottery up to pick 20. Or maybe we'll start mid-lottery and then go to pick 20. We haven't decided yet. But we will be here for the draft. We will bring you the coverage that you need that we've done here for a long time. Thank you, everybody, for joining. Stay tuned. Remember to join the Discord server. We're going to put that link in the description of the podcast. You can check it on the Twitch page. Brian's waving because he is so done with tonight. We've been here forever. Y'all are the best. And stay tuned for what we have to come.